Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
Been a rambler most of my life. Been across Texas looking for my paradise. I've been to Austin and East San Antone. That's right, my friends, let me tell you, I'm Texas to the bone, that's right. Yeah, I'm Texas to the bone, that's right, I am. You know I am Texas to the bone. Been down to Brazos on a hot summer day. Drank lots of beer out on Corpus Christi Bay. I rode a train from Waco all the way to Rome. That's right, my friends, let me tell you.
Howdy, 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 Texas, and good morning to you. That is the Gringo Kings and their tune Texas to the Bone, kicking things off for us here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show this morning. I'm your host, Cable Smith, and I am thrilled to be here with you as we've got a great show lined up. We've got a real treat for all the bass anglers out there this morning as Lake Fork's own and Elite Series angler Kelly Jordan joins the program. Now, next week is the Elite Series Angler of the Year Championship Week, and that's why I've asked Kelly to come on. He did not qualify for the championship as he finished outside of the top 12 anglers in the standings this year. But Kelly will join us to talk about the nature of the championship as he did finish fourth last year and fished in both tournaments that will be held next week. Lots of controversy surrounds the point system used in the final week of the season, as BASS really likes to change things up and make it interesting. Well, not all the anglers like that. We'll get Kelly's take, and maybe he has some insight as to what his peers think as well. KJ will also give us his pick to win Angler of the Year. Will he go with a favorite? And current leader Skeet Reese? I don't know, but he'll tell us coming up here in just a few minutes. Then after we're done visiting with Kelly, my childhood hero, Major League Hall of Famer, and current Texas Rangers team president, Nolan Ryan, drops in to talk about his life as a cattleman and avid hunter and outdoorsman. And last but not least, Texas Parks and Wildlife's alligator program biologist, Monique Slaughter, will stop by to discuss how we can make sure we get the chance to harvest an alligator this fall, something that I'm really intrigued by. Also, a quick reminder that you'll need to keep sending me your best outdoor photos for your chance to win our Photo of the Month contest. Each monthly winner receives a year subscription to the fabulous publication Lone Star Outdoor News. Monthly winners are also entered into our annual grand prize trophy hog hunt at Razorback Ranch in Crockett, Texas. So send your best outdoor photos to cablewaco@yahoo.com. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's Elite Series angler Kelly Jordan. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Sit tall in the saddle, hold your head up high. Keep your eyes fixed where the trail meets the sky.
Have you ever battled a catfish weighing almost as much as you on a rod and reel? Well, Team Catfish Guide and professional catfish tournament angler Cody Molinix has. His 121-pound Texoma Blue Cat is the Lone Star State record. Fishing out of a 23-foot center console Falcon, Cody offers comfortable, family-friendly trips on Texoma to Waconee, Lavon, Ray Roberts, and Cooper Lake. Call Cody at 903-815-0273 or visit www.catfish-guide.com. So book a trip with Cody, because you never know, your next catfish could be a state record. Call 903-815-0273 today. We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000-square-foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com. Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com. Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today. Cable Smith here to tell you about Star S Ranch. Frankly, it's the place to hunt trophy whitetails in Texas. I know because I've been there and seen their huge bruisers firsthand. With top-notch accommodations and an unmatched dedication to growing huge deer, the Scott family runs a one-of-a-kind operation. Located in Mason County's beautiful southern Texas hill country, Star S Ranch also offers trophy exotic hunts. Visit www.star-s-ranch.com. That's star-s-ranch.com to book your hunt today.
I'm Lee from Pawn Stars, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Lonely, written all over you. I can read the
writing from across this crowded room. Jared Audley bringing us back from break there with a little help from Chum Lee. This is the Lone Star Outdoor Show, and I'm Cable Smith. Elite Series angler Kelly Jordan is already on the line. But before we start visiting, I need to remind you about the first annual Southern Deer Stand Deer Blind Contest. Check out deerblindcontest.com to see our fabulous prize packages. We've got three great ones up there. Also, a reminder that Texas Ranger Hall of Famer Rusty Greer and my man Kelly Jordan have already agreed to be a part of our celebrity judging panel. All you need to do is send me your best deer blind photo. That's your 2010 deer blind photo. Send that to me at cablewaco@yahoo.com, and you will be eligible to win one of our fabulous prize packages. Doesn't 40 pounds of deer corn sound nice? Yeah, that's just part of one of the prize packages. So check it out, deerblindcontest.com. Without further delay, we'll go ahead and bring on the official bass angler of the Lone Star Outdoors Show, Elite Series Pro, and Lake Fork legend, Kelly Jordan. Kelly, I know it's got to be tough, man, not being able to be out there as one of the top 12 anglers this year, as the guys are all gearing up for next week's championship week on the Elite Series. Last year you fished these two tournaments, but this year you failed to qualify. So what was the biggest difference when you compare last year's run to where you finished in the standings this season?
Well, the difference, it was, I don't know. I never got really in the groove real strong, and I had some opportunities and was around some good fishing. Just didn't work out for me.
Right.
As far as where I finished the year up, it's the second worst year I've ever had. You know, I finished the 35th or something. You know, the only other time I finished worse was the one time I missed the Classic in, like, 2004 or 2005. And that was the year we double qualified for Classic, so I missed two Classics by having one bad year.
Mm.
That wasn't any fun. And, man, I tell you what, it was kind of, with two events left, I knew I had to put the heat on to just make the Classic. And that's not a position you like to be in, but it's a position lots of pros find themselves in every year going down the wire. So I knew I had to have a pretty good show in the final two, and then I had Kentucky Lake coming up, and I, you know.
Oh, you're always strong out there.
Well, I got this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the river where they changed it to Fort Gibson at the last minute because it was flooding. Mm-hmm. But I still was able, you know, that was a crazy curveball. I did not like that one bit. But, hey, you know, that's part of the gig, and it all worked out, and I made the Classic, and, you know, had to finish the year out with a really good tournament at Kentucky Lake and, good enough at Fort Gibson in Oklahoma to make the Classic. So, you know, you always end the year on a positive note, you make the Classic. So, didn't make the top 12 like I did last year and get to fish the postseason. And that was disappointing, but, at the same time, it was a good season. It's always a successful season when you make the Classic. Don't ever want to take that for granted. Nobody should ever take that for granted because it is harder. It is extremely hard to make the classic, and that's the first goal that I have every year: make the classic.
Right.
You know, I've made it every year I've fished pro except for one. It's not automatic, and it is hard. And I mean, you know, I've been in positions several years where I've been right around there, and then was able to finish it off strong and move up pretty good. But it is. I can't describe how hard it is to make the classic, and that's one of the things that makes making the classic so special. And you know, there's a lot of guys who only make it once or twice or three or four times, and then you know, you got the Federation guys that get in there, and I mean, it's really cool to meet all those guys. That, you know, some of those guys have made it a couple times, but
yeah, Brian Schmidt, he's a Federation guy.
Yeah. There's all kind of great anglers that come, and there's some perennial Federation guys that make it too. But it's a great show. Once you make it, it's just you know, I don't ever want to miss ever again, and I hope I don't. But like I said, it was a nail biter for me this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you did have a great tournament out on Kentucky Lake, but that's no surprise. You're always good there.
Yeah, I tell people Kentucky Lake is Lake Fork East. And it's never had as big a fish in it, but I caught a 10-pounder there this year. That was unbelievable.
Oh, heck yeah. Big bass for the tournament, too.
Yeah. So I guess that's why I've always felt super comfortable there. The fish is just like Lake Fork. You know, you get out there in deep water. You know, you throw your Carolina rig, your crankbait, your jig, and that's where I let that Lake Fork spoon out of the bag. It was on Kentucky Lake, but that's because it fishes just like Lake Fork, and you can throw that great big spoon and catch tons of bass out there, too. So, love that place.
Well, Kelly, looking at this year's 12 anglers that did qualify for Championship Week, you know, Skeet Reese has a nice lead, but you've got KVD lurking in fourth place. You know, Biffle, Lane, Klein, lots of great anglers are in that field. So how do you see that thing playing out?
I think Skeet's going to win.
He is in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm. Put it this way, he's got a huge lead. All he has to do is not fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not do that very often. So, you know, he's very consistent, very strong. And he, you know, last season he was within two spots at the second of the two events. If he would have finished two places higher in the second event, which would have been like, I think he finished sixth. If he would have finished fourth, he would have got angler of the year last year. And I was one of the guys that knocked him back on the spot. I'm glad somebody else did too, I wasn't the only one.
Nah, you sandbagged him pretty good.
That got him out of there, but you know, that's just part of the game. He's got the lead this year. I know he's determined, and I know the ball's in his court, and he controls his destiny on that gig, 100%. So, and he's got that big lead, and I don't expect him to blow up in any of the events because he doesn't really have to swing for the fences. He needs good, solid finishes. That's all he needs. You know, he's done that like crazy, you know, over the last several years. So in the fishing world right now, you wouldn't want anybody driving your bus beside him. So there you go.
Well, Kelly, as someone with experience fishing Championship Week, you know, you qualified as one of the top 12 anglers last year. There's a lot of controversy surrounding how the points shake down over the last week. Well, what are your thoughts on the way that the scoring system changes all of a sudden for the last week of the season?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people think, you know, and saying a lot of pros say, and some fans say, you know, hey, the angler of the year is the best angler over the regular season fishing against all the guys. The way the format is, you know, and it's there to create excitement, and it's also there to put the heat on. I mean, it's just a different component. It's almost like a two-season season.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything you can to make that postseason, and yeah, you'll be ranked and you'll have a edge if you perform better in the off season. But, you know, I'm not looking at the points, the total points right now, but, you know, on the regular season, the guy in 12th place couldn't have caught Skeet Reese in five tournaments if Skeet would have almost zeroed them all. I mean, he was so far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what it does is it gives everybody a chance. And that, you know, creates, I'll pick and tell you how much he had right here. Skeet had 2,116 points. 12th, that's tied for 11, 1,766. So you're looking at 350 points.
Mm-hmm.
350 point. He had 350 points over the 12th place guy in the regular season. Now, just so you know, if you win a tournament, that's 300 points.
Right.
So he has more than if he won a tournament. I mean, the guy in 12th place could win the tournament and lead all 4 days and get the extra, I think it's 5, might be 10 points. let's just say, I can't remember if it's 5 or 10, that's my bad. Let's just say it's 10. If they led all 4 days and won a tournament, they'd get 340 points. Skeet could stay on the bank and still be 10 points ahead of them in the angle of the year.
Wow.
A total zero. Now that he catches one bass, you get like 130 points. So then, you know, they're still way back. So that's how monumental his lead was. Now, the controversy is like, how come those guys should have a shot to knock him off when over eight events he just lapped everybody? You know, and that's a valid, you know, complaint. But, hey, that's the way it is, and we knew that going into the season that was going to be the deal. That's the, I guess, you know, way you can look at it from the standpoint of the Bassmaster organization trying to mix it up and get, you know, some good, you know, hype and stuff like that going. And it serves that purpose because there is a lot of tension at the final, let me tell you.
I bet.
It is. It's tangible. And you're sitting there in a weigh-in line, and you know who's got what, and you're thinking about the postseason. Everybody knows it. Man, I'm telling you, it is like the people chewing on nails. So it accomplishes its goal, but a lot of us don't like being in that position or being thrust in that position because, man, it is a nail-biting deal because it is all down to two events that happen in pretty much 10 days,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I mean, do you think they should just have the Angler of the Year awarded from the regular season and then just kind of have like a Players' Championship or something on the, like they have on the PGA Tour, where, you know, they just have one other big tournament at the end of the year or something like that?
Right. Well, but to be honest with you, last year, I haven't really digested still whether I like it or not. My basic feeling is I don't like it.
Yeah.
But last year, I came into the postseason in fourth place. I had a shot to win Angler of the Year. If we'd had one more event, I pretty much would have had no shot. Just like the guy, like I told you, in 12th place right here, he had no shot to win Angler of the Year if they had one or two events left. I mean, just about a zero chance. You know, there's only really, looking at these points, I mean, if there was two more events, it'd be pretty hard for anybody except Edwin Evers to catch him in second place. From third place on back, those guys were all around 200 points back. Actually, 200 more than that, 250.
Right.
That's an insurmountable. See, that's the bad thing for Skeet Reese. He had an insurmountable lead, and now it's in within reach of some other guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Skeet doesn't like it. Now, if he wins, which he should, if he wins, he'll say, you know, it's great because it'll be more hype. And, hey, you get more and it is good. It serves a purpose. It gets more spotlight on the top 12 guys for the year. A lot more press, a lot more, you know, people, you know, you get a lot more TV time and it's a smaller field, which is really good for TV. And that's what, you know, is good for TV, is a smaller group of guys. It's easier to bounce and get some more content because you don't worry about some dude, you know, guy over here in left field mm-hmm. coming out of nowhere and, you know, possibly winning or doing something like that. So it served its purpose. And, you know, as anglers and we're in this sport, you know, that's the counterweight to us really not liking the foreman is that, well, you know, this is as far as a sponsorship, exposure for the sport, people getting into the competition side of it, and just seeing how hard it is and how hard the decisions are and how much effort these guys put into this, it's good. So I guess that's the countermeasure to us not really liking it because, you know, we've been so used to fishing the whole year. And with eight events, and you got to lead that big, I mean, that's the Angler of the Year. And then, you know, you got to go prove it again. And it's a format where a guy can catch him. Yeah, it's tough. But at the same time, he does have a lead. And I'll tell you the precedence as well. Even though he was leading last year going into the final 12 because of the way that they staggered the points by wins because Kevin had two. Kevin actually went in 1 point ahead of Skeet.
Uh-huh.
So that was crazy. And I know, and I'm telling you what, if Skeet, because Skeet's leading the Angler of the Year, and then they go to the top 12 and they have him ranked. Well, he's already ranked number two behind Kevin as he was leading the regular season. He didn't think that was a kick in the shorts.
Well, that's a huge kick in the crotch. That doesn't make any sense.
He had bonus points for winning events, and Kevin won two last year. So going into the postseason, after the final tournament, Skeet Reese had the lead in the points. Then when they recalibrate the points for the postseason, Van Dam was in first, not Skeet. Skeet's like, hey, how does this happen? This isn't right.
Suddenly, the overall body of work just isn't as important.
Well, but can you imagine the kick in the shorts?
It's terrible.
And don't think old Skeet's not thinking about that this time, but he has a, and you know, maybe that's what lit the fire in this year so hard, you know, but whatever, he had a great, he's been able to capture the, to keep it all together and stay focused, because that's what this game's all about. You got, in our deal, there's quite a few guys that have the capability to do what Skeet did, including me. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, man, I got a lot of work to go on, obviously, in keeping some focus and keeping all and all tied together. Now, I've had some really good runs in years past. This year it all fell apart, it looks like. But I still made the classic, so I recovered. But Skeet has got, I mean, if you want to be cheesy, you can call it the eye of the tiger, whatever you want to call it. The way that guy works, you know, even though he doesn't have anything to prove, but he's going to go ahead and show you.
Yeah.
And that's where he's coming from in this postseason. Like I said, I'll be amazed if anybody passed him.
Mm-hmm.
But not that it couldn't happen, but he, you know, if I had $1 million in the line of Vegas, I'd throw it on Skeet in 1 second.
Well, he does have a nice lead, so I guess we'll just have to.
He does, but he doesn't. That's what's crazy with the points.
Mm-hmm.
If he had two mid-pack finishes, two sixth places out of the top 12, he probably would lose it. Mm-hmm. To four or five guys could catch him, I think. I'm not sure on the math. I've seen it. I haven't put a pen to paper.
Yeah,
myself, but that's what's crazy.
Well, Kelly, it is crazy, and only someone who's fished championship week before could enlighten us on what exactly goes on behind the scenes and kind of what you and your peers think of the scoring system for championship week. I mean, angler of the year is on the line, and all of a sudden things get flip-flopped around.
What a crazy stuff.
Well, thanks for the insight, Kelly. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and congrats on qualifying for the Classic, and more importantly, you recently got married June 26th, I believe, so congratulations on that as well.
Thanks a lot, Cable. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon, bud.
All right. Sounds great.
What a genuinely nice guy Kelly Jordan is. Met him at the Bassmaster Classic 3 years ago, and I've really enjoyed getting to know him. I hope that y'all have enjoyed his interviews as well, as Kelly is the definition of good people. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with Major League Baseball's all-time strikeout leader. That's right, Nolan Ryan, outdoorsman, Hall of Fame pitcher, and Texas Rangers team president, joins the program only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I can see the train from start to finish without a damn thing in my way. Counting every boxcar, trying not to lose my place. Nothing like the lonesome side of the West Texas plains.
Are you looking for a great dove or duck lease? Well, then do what I did and give my buddy Vernon Richardson a call. With over 9,000 acres in Grayson and Fannin counties, Vernon Richardson's Hickory Creek Hunting Company offers the best bang for your buck. With farmland, pastures, ponds, and lakes, the terrain is as diverse as the shooting is furious. Kids 16 and under even hunt free. Conveniently located less than an hour from the Metroplex, call Vernon at 903-496-7747. That's 903-496-7747. Or visit www.rguns.com. Tell them Cable sent you, and you're eligible for a special prize drawing. Go to www.rguns.com today. There's a Texas-sized buzz rippling through the fishing industry as Brass and Blades lures have taken center stage. State-of-the-art engineering offers a unique double hook, custom blade, exclusive anti-roll bend design, and even a semi-flex hook joint that bends with the movement of the fish. Brass and Blades boasts the premier lead-free buzz and chatter baits on the market. Check out Brass and Blades lures at www.brassandblades.com. Made for real fishermen by real fishermen. It's the bait with twice the bite. Visit brassandblades.com and see for yourself today.
Howdy, Range Country. Chance Cody here to tell you about Squaw Mountain Whitetail. Located only 2 hours from DFW in Jack County, you can harvest management deer or go big with a 200-class buck. With trophy elk, exotic hunts, fabulous wing shooting, and terrain with over 500 feet of elevation changes and beautiful Trinity River frontage, there's no ranch like it. Family-owned and operated, they take pride in being a premier hunting and getaway destination. Call 214-769-3151 or visit smwhunts.com. That's smwhunts.com.
All right, waterfowlers, outdoorsmen, and conservationists, the Lone Star chapter of Delta Waterfowl's annual banquet is taking place this August 6th. That's Friday night, August the 6th. I've got a free couples ticket right here to give away. First person to text in the word Delta to 214-289-7807 will win this couple's ticket valued at $80, free drinks, free food for the evening. So text Delta to 214-289-7807 now. Razorback Ranch is earning a reputation as the premier wild boar hunting destination in Texas. Located between Dallas and Houston in Crockett, we are the perfect weekend getaway. Family-friendly with a game room and flat-screen TVs in the cabins, our accommodations are top-notch. Select boars ranging from 60 to 200 pounds to bow or rifle hunt. Hunters are welcome to hunt hogs at feeders or chase them through creek bottoms and heavy brush. Call 713-203-3860 or visit RazorbackRanch.com. That's RazorbackRanch.com to book your trophy hog hunt today.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Every sportsman needs a gun safe to protect his gun collection, and that's why I called my buddies at ANC Gun Safes. ANC is a family-owned business that prides itself on having the best customer service policy in the industry. ANC Gun Safe specializes in Winchester safes as well as new lightly scratched or dented safes that they sell to outdoorsmen at huge discounted prices. They also guarantee safe shipping on every order. Call Adam at 817-228-1184 or check out their great selection of gun safes at www.acsafes.com. That's acsafes.com. Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas's oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSC. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
Hey, Texas! This is your Tejas blood brother, Ted Nugent. I'm proud to be right here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I don't want to wind up bitter, lost inside a silent rage. I become like...
Good morning, Texas, and welcome back to this morning's presentation. Cable Smith here, riding shotgun with you, and we are about ready to visit with a lifelong Texas outdoorsman who happens to moonlight as Major League Baseball's all-time strikeout king. He's also thrown seven no-hitters, pitched for the New York Mets and California Angels, and of course his home state, Houston Astros and Texas Rangers, where he now resides as team president, Mr. Nolan Ryan. Thanks for joining the show this morning.
My pleasure.
Well, first of all, congrats on a tremendous first half by our first place Texas Rangers.
Well, we're really pleased where we are and how we've been playing, and so... We feel like the team probably is playing its best baseball right now.
Yes, sir. And there is a buzz surrounding this team that we haven't seen in North Texas in about a decade.
Well, I think that our fans have been very patient over the years, waiting for us to put a product on the field that they can get excited about. And we feel like that, you know, this year that we are in that situation with the team that we have.
And Nolan, one more baseball-related question before we get into you as an outdoorsman. And I got to ask you, what is the biggest difference in this year's team when compared to every other squad the Rangers have fielded over about the last 10 years?
Well, I think that when you look at our ball club, that with the addition of Guerrero and with Josh Hamilton healthy, that it's made quite a difference in the middle of our lineup. And then also we have Elvis Andrus with another year of experience, and Barbone in center field with his speed. And then I think that having Ian Kinsler back healthy has made a big difference for the ball club.
And who would have thought Tommy Hunter would be having the year that he's having?
Well, our pitching, our starting pitching has gotten better, and Tommy Hunter coming back after the injury that he has sustained in spring training and pitching as well as he has, and being able to pick up Cliff Lee, we feel like that we have a legitimate starting staff and that our bullpen has been outstanding all year.
Well, Nolan, it's not every day that a grown man gets to visit with one of his childhood idols. I was there celebrating my 10th birthday at your 5,000 strikeout game, so this is really a pretty cool deal for me.
Thank you.
Well, it is a pleasure and an honor. Now, Nolan, you were born in Refugio, Texas.
Correct. I was born born in Refugio and grew up in Alvin.
So you grew up in small town South Texas where hunting and ranching were just kind of a way of life. But specifically, who got you interested in the outdoors in your early years?
Well, my father would take us hunting, and then I would spend a lot of my summer time at my uncle's dairy in Beeville, Texas. And so I think between those two things and the fact that I have an older brother that really introduced me to sports, that between sports and the dairy and hunting, I just developed a passion and love for the outdoors. And ever since I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I can remember always wanting to be a cattleman. And so that's always been a lifetime goal of mine. I've been in the cattle business now about 38 years. So I've been able to pursue two of the passions that I have in life.
And as a lifetime cattleman, is there one horse that you've owned that when you look back, it brings a twinkle to your eye or a smile to your face because he was simply the best of the best?
Well, you know, being a rancher, I'm partial to geldings, and but the horse that I think probably meant the most to me and to my family was, we had a mare by the name of Angel, and she not was only a outstanding ranch horse and had a lot of cow in her, but she also was that type of horse that I could put my children on at a very early age and not have to worry about her. And so she truly was a utility type horse that was very meaningful to our family.
Well, you're obviously a very successful rancher, but I know you've also spent a significant amount of time deer hunting as well. What is the most difficult aspect of running cattle on the same land where you're trying to maintain a healthy whitetail herd?
Well, you know, I think it's balance, and I think obviously you have to be aware of your environment from season to season, and each year is different, and you have to realize that and approach each season differently. We do rotational grazing. We monitor our rainfall and what time of the year we get that rainfall, and that's so important into your deer herd, and so we try to manage both and do a balancing act. And so because of that, we try never to overstock and have the flexibility if the weather changes on us that we can pull cattle out of the ranch and try to compensate for what the needs are for the deer and other wildlife.
Nolan, tell me about one hunting memory that really stands out in your mind.
Well, I think goal growing up was always to shoot a double drop tine deer. And I'm going to say it was, you know how time goes, it probably was 8-10 years ago, and a good friend of mine and I were out rattling one evening, and we rattled up a drop-town buck that was about 200 yards from us down at Sendero. And he had to go home that night, and I knew we hadn't spooked the deer. And so I was going to go back in the morning, and I knew where we'd seen the deer. And my youngest son, Reese, was with me, and we were driving over there that morning, and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to let Reese hunt where I think that deer is going to be, because being a father, I couldn't think of anything I would enjoy more than see him get that deer. And so I took him down there and set him on a cross Sendera, and then I sat down about 400 yards from him, and about 15 minutes after daylight, I heard him shoot, and I put my binoculars up and saw him go into the brush. And then I was watching the Sendera, and to see him come out of that Sendera running towards me with the biggest grin on his face was one of the special moments in my life as far as hunting was concerned.
And you didn't get the double drop tine buck?
I didn't get him. He hangs on the wall in the ranch house, and Reese got him and won several deer contests with him because he had over 13 inches of drop tine.
Wow, that would definitely make any father proud. That's very cool.
Well, it was one of those special moments that, as a father, that you cherish.
Yes, sir. Well, I realize that with your obligations as Rangers team president, you probably don't get to do as much hunting as you used to.
Well, what we do is we close the offices here prior to Christmas and don't open until after New Year's. And so it's a very slow time of year for our business, and it gives our employees a chance to spend time with their families and have time to go do something. And so I take that time right after Christmas and go to the ranch and spend a week at the ranch just hunting and being outdoors. And then we also spend Thanksgiving there. And so somehow we incorporate our family time with hunting and the outdoors. And so we're very blessed that we have a really nice ranch that produces a lot of variety of wildlife. And so between my children and my grandchildren, they have been able to continue that tradition that I was able to pursue as a youngster growing up.
Well, it's important to carry on that family tradition. Now, besides whitetails, is there anything else that you've really enjoyed hunting over the years?
Well, I never, because of baseball, was able to spring turkey hunt. And so now, as retiring as a player, I've been able to pursue that. And then I was a very avid quail hunter. And this year looks like the first year that we're probably going to have a rebirth of quail. And so I don't know that I'll hunt them that much, as much as I'll just get out and hope that, you know, we start seeing a population growth as far as the quail are concerned, because it's gotten down so low.
Yes, sir. It has been a sad situation with the bobwhite in recent memory, but hopefully we can get that trend reversed and get that population back up where it needs to be. Well, Nolan, in addition to all the great hunting opportunities in the Lone Star State, we've also got some pretty amazing fishing, both fresh and saltwater. And you grew up pretty close to the coast, and I heard that you really enjoyed wade fishing the Laguna Madre. Now, is that something that you still get an opportunity to do?
I still really enjoy that, and until I took this position as president of the Texas Rangers, I would go down 2 to 3 times a year and do that for a couple of days, and there's nothing I enjoy more than sight casting reds or trout down in knee-deep water. And so it's very special, really truly enjoy it. It's an exciting, great way to spend a nice day in the outdoors.
It is tough to beat, no doubt about that. What would you say was the biggest issue that y'all faced during your term on the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission?
Well, obviously it's managing and protecting the resources of the state, but also trying to give the anglers and the hunters as much opportunity to utilize the wildlife in our state, but to protect it. And I think that at times it's a juggling act, but I think as long as you err on the side of the resource, I think that you should be able to do that.
Yes, sir. Hard to argue with that. We had another former Ranger power pitcher, Jim the Amazing Emu Kern, joined the show about a month ago, and he talked about how he routinely would go bass fishing with Ferguson Jenkins. Did you or do you still spend some time hunting or fishing with any of your former teammates?
Well, over the years, I've kept relationships with ex-teammates and people that enjoy the outdoors and respect the outdoors as I do. And so whether it be Terry Poole or hunting with Tom Seaver or Danny Darwin or someone of that nature who I played with, I always enjoy that.
Nolan, I read that you once missed a start after being bitten by a coyote. Tell me about that experience.
Well, what happened was we were penning cattle, and there were some baby coyotes in the pasture, and we picked them up, which we probably shouldn't have at the time, and brought them to the to the house, and so I put them in the dog pen, and they were weren't weaned yet, and one of them got out, and I'd been holding him by the nape of the neck, and when I went picked the pup up, he turned and bit me right between my thumb and forefinger, and so then I was faced with what I was going to do because of the rabies, possible rabies situation, and my hand swole up, and so that's how that story happened. And that was a good example of not using good judgment on something.
Oh, man. A couple more questions for you. What are your thoughts on the ever-controversial issue of antler restrictions in the state of Texas?
Well, you know, I understand what they're trying to do is that what we found is some of these counties that are cut up into smaller tracts some of these tracts are overhunted, and with the baiting of corn and protein that people are pulling deer in off other people's property, and the challenge of one landowner wanting to give a buck an opportunity to mature and reach more of his genetic potential as far as his horns are concerned. So I can see where Parks and Wildlife is trying to balance that, where they can hopefully give people more of a hunting experience, and where people are wanting to harvest something that has better antler development and more points or whatever it may be.
Well, once again, we're visiting with Major League Hall of Famer and current Texas Ranger team president Nolan Ryan here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Nolan, did Josh Hamilton really bring a deer head into the Ranger locker room?
Yes, he harvested a buck in South Texas on a bow hunt, and it is he had it mounted, and it is now above his locker in the clubhouse.
That is awesome. Well, besides Josh, do any of the other players really seem to be interested in the outdoors?
Well, I think Tommy Hunter's a big outdoorsman, and I'm not for sure who else down there falls into that category, but I know Tommy is.
Well, that deer head needs to stay up as long as the club is playing as well as they are. Nolan, where is the most remote place that you've ever hunted?
It would have to be out in southwest Texas, out past Del Rio, out in that country.
Mm, beautiful country. What is your favorite firearm?
I use a Winchester .364 700 BDL 270.
Very nice. Favorite thing about the great Lone Star State?
The diversity of it.
Hitter you hated facing the most in your playing days?
Oh, I can't really answer that because of the length of my career and the fact that it went through several generations of hitters, but the type of hitter that was the biggest challenge for me was a left-handed hitting contact hitter that didn't swing at bad pitches, and if you wanted to categorize people that fell into that, it would be the George Brett's, Pete Rose's of the world.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn would be a good one. Rod Carew.
And one more question for you. Is there any animal that you would like to harvest before your days are up that you have not had the opportunity to do so yet?
You know, no, not really. I enjoy, I'm at the point in my life I enjoy getting out in the outdoors and seeing wildlife. And, you know, I still get excited when I see a really nice buck. And whether it be a mule deer or elk or something, probably seeing one is more important to me now.
Yep, it is funny how things change as you get older. Well, Nolan, I really appreciate you joining the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and hope to see you someday out in the outdoors.
Yes, sir. Well, once again, thanks for coming on, and congrats again on a great season so far. Let's hope this thing just keeps on rolling.
Well, I'm hoping that the best part of our season is the second half.
Well, me too. Thanks again, Nolan.
Thank you.
Man, I don't know if it gets any better than that. the great Nolan Ryan, a true Texas outdoorsman and Hall of Fame pitcher for both the Rangers and Astros. Well, that's going to be a tough act to follow, but Texas Parks and Wildlife alligator biologist Monique Slaughter is going to give it her best shot. Coming up next, we're talking gator hunting right here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Late October, San Antonio. Oh, she's every girl I've ever known. And she don't talk about religion. She talks about the stones. Oh, she's every girl I've ever known.
Hey, outdoorsmen. It's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising. So let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. Game Guard's Vent Vac shirts are offered in 7 great colors and perform like no others. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning their business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Rick's Outpost is the place for the outdoorsman. Rick's offers USDA-approved taxidermy on large and small game, as well as fish. As the official wild game processor of the Lone Star Outdoor Show, Rick's guarantees you'll get your own meat back and in a timely manner. Serving the Frisco, North Dallas area for over 20 years, Rick's offers a custom welding shop, hunting blinds, and game feeders. Rick will also help you book your trophy hunt. Located on Highway 380 in Aubrey, call 972-346-2825 or visit us at www.ricksoutpost.com.
Howdy, range listeners. Les Mundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas premier outfitting service. I'm currently booking South Texas Trophy whitetail hunts, as well as exotic hunts for axis and fallow deer, red stag, and many others. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my West Texas Trophy Audad and pronghorn antelope hunts. Fall whitetail hunts are going fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118, or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on the hunt of a lifetime.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Come experience the beef jerky outlet by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland. We carry the best jerkies, 8 different flavors of Sunland peanut butter, and a wide range of hot sauces and delicious salsas. Ever tried deep fried peanuts? They are so good you can eat the whole shell. We also have gourmet Wisconsin cheeses available to sample. You can also enjoy our edible crickets, worms, and scorpion suckers. So let the outdoorsman in you experience the beef jerky outlet for yourself. Check out our website at www.dallasjerky.com. Beef Jerky Outlet, located by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland.
Whether you need lights for your boat, dock, or anything else, Wildcat Lighting is the answer. Our patent-pending LED lighting system is innovative and practical. Backed by a 1-year warranty, there isn't a brighter boat light on the market. Wildcat builds custom lighting systems for hunting, fishing, or recreational hobbies. So whether you're looking to bring in bait fish at night, show your bling on your wake boat, or rest easy knowing that other boaters can always see you, Wildcat Lighting has the answer. Visit wildcatlighting.com to see the lights. That's wildcatlighting.com. Bob Holmes Guide Service on Lake Richland Chambers, 1 hour south of Dallas, offers world-class topwater fishing for white bass and hybrid striper. Bob also holds the lake record striper and knows how to land big fish, featuring half-day or full-day trips with top-notch equipment and your fish cleaned and bagged. Great for wedding parties and birthdays, heck, any day. There's no group too big or too small. Also booking peacock bass trips on the Amazon River. Give Bob Holmes a call at 214-728-3310 or visit texasfishingguide.net. That's texasfishingguide.net.
Got my fishing poles packed and a cooler of beer. Heading on out to Old Joe's Pier. Me and my buddies gonna do things right. Nothing like fishing in the Texas moonlight. When you're drinking Lone Star on a bright moonlight, ain't nothing like a lazy Texas night.
Great tune there from my buddy Brandon Key. That's Lazy Texas Night. Bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith, and I've got a hankering, y'all, to get me an alligator this September. I've never gone on a Texas alligator hunt, but that is something that I'm going to do coming up this fall. And to better understand all the regulations, legal means of harvest, and everything else that goes into our state's alligator program, I've asked Texas Parks and Wildlife alligator program biologist Monique Slaughter to join the program this morning. Monique, welcome to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, Monique, you are one of the two alligator program biologists that work for Texas Parks and Wildlife. Tell me a little bit about your responsibilities within the alligator program.
We're responsible for all aspects of it, meaning the wild harvest, sometimes nuisance alligator education, and the farming aspect of it.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the farming aspect.
Well, we actually have around 40 licensed farmers in Texas. Really about, I'd say about six or seven of those are actually true alligator ranchers who produce a lot of the meat and the hides that go on the market.
So like the stuff I order at Razoo's.
Right, farm meat, yes.
Well, Monique, there are two alligator seasons in the state of Texas. One is in the fall in September, and the other one runs from, I believe, April until June. Why is it necessary to have two different alligator seasons?
Okay, the spring season is fairly new. That's April 1st through June 30th. That's in what we call non-core counties, meaning those counties have a smaller population, and those populations aren't under our management program, which in the core counties, which is the coastal areas and some of East Texas, they're under the fall season, September 10th through the 30th, and we're managing the population there. We hunt alligators there on a sustainable yield formula.
And sustainable yield means the number of tags y'all give out can change from year to year.
Right. Issuance is kind of dependent on our surveys, you know, how good the nesting was and things like that.
Okay. And talk a little bit about the methods used to conduct these surveys.
We do two types of surveys. We have spotlight, which is at nighttime. We'll go out in, you know, airboats or outboards and designated lines, and we'll actually count how many gators we see. Then we also do our aerial nest surveys, which along the coast, we're running some transects and counting all the gator nests that we see and extrapolate that, and that gives us a good idea of the population size.
Okay, now let's talk about legal means of harvest and if that differentiates depending on which season you're hunting in.
In both seasons, they're very, very similar. You know, legal means is like hook and line. You actually set a pole overnight with a bait, and the alligator takes a bait. You can use a gig. Most people don't use that, though. And archery is a good technique also. And the handheld snare, those are the legal means and methods. In the non-core counties, you can actually free swim, shoot them in your private pond. A lot of people don't use that because, you know, the loss is great on that. It's hard to retrieve a free swimming gator.
What about firearms? Are they ever a legal means of harvesting an alligator?
To dispatch, yes.
So only to finish them off, never for the actual hunt itself?
Not for actually capturing it, right.
Okay.
Except in non-core counties.
Okay, but just to be clear, you can actually use a firearm to hunt gators to fill your tag, but only if you're on private property.
Yes, on private property, yes. In the core properties, you know, you couldn't take him like that free swimming. He's going to have to be caught on something.
Okay.
And so after you've captured him either with your bow or either with a hook and line or a gig or a snare, then you can dispatch him with a firearm.
Monique, I am very interested in throwing my hat in the ring and trying to get one of these WMA public land gator tags, but I know there's a limited number, so how do I make sure that I have a decent chance at being awarded one of those tags?
Right. We have our public hunt booklets. They're out, and so it lists all the areas that alligator hunting is available on there, so you can put your name and hat on that. Or you can go online to our homepage and go to the public hunting section and apply that way. And I think all that's, you know, up and running right now.
Mm-hmm.
The deadline's usually like August 5th.
And how many of the public hunting tags are actually available for the upcoming fall season?
Altogether, there's four different management areas, maybe a little bit more than that, that are doing it. And so I'd say maybe altogether just a little under 150 tags out.
Oh, that's not very many. So then what about in the spring? Will there be more tags available then?
There's two areas that will have spring hunts. Okay. Choke Canyon, the Daughtry area, and the Ingling area.
So as far as public alligator hunting goes in the state of Texas, there's 150 or so tags available in the fall, and there's even less than that available in the spring. So not a lot of tags to go around. But then if you don't get one, you can always try the private land option.
Right.
Now let's talk about baiting as far as using a hook and line to catch your gator. What are the regulations concerning that means of harvest?
Hunting gators is daytime only, but you can leave your baited line out overnight. That's typically when they'll take it. And then you can come in the morning, you know, 30 minutes before sunrise and 30 minutes before sunset is the legal hunting time.
And what about size restrictions on alligators?
There's no limit on the size that you capture. You know, whatever's on your hook is what you take.
So if you accidentally get a really small one on your hook, I guess it's just luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
Now, what if I'm a private landowner and I've got a couple too many gators on my property and some of them need to be taken out?
During the September season, we issue those tags to landowners who have habitat, and it just kind of depends, you know, on the data that they have. You know, it is on a sustained yield, so we're not trying to get rid of all their gators that they have. If they have habitat, they're going to be there. But we do issue based on what they have. It just kind of depends on the quantity and the quality of their habitat.
Mm-hmm.
The core season now is a little bit different because, you know, they can harvest one alligator per hunter. Okay. So there's not a really tag restriction on those non-core counties.
So if I don't get lucky and get one of these WMA public land gator tags, I'll just go out to a private landowner, get permission, and then use my gator tag from my Texas hunting license.
Correct. Right, with landowner permission. And even in the fall, it's that way too. We do have lots of private landowners who are hunting gators on their private property and offer, you know, the hunting opportunity just like, you know, deer landowners.
Right, right. Tell me a little bit about the statewide distribution of alligators.
Yeah, there's 120 counties that actually have alligators in them, and that's, you know, from one or two a year to a good population. Here on the coastal areas, I'd say in Jefferson Chambers, Liberty County, we're probably close, a conservative number, about 300,000 of all sizes, hatchlings to, you know, 13 foot. Our numbers, you know, in other counties, we don't really have a handle on that.
One other question about the public hunting opportunities. What is the success ratio for the hunters that do get the tags and actually go out and try to harvest a gator? And also, do all public land gators have to be taken to a check station?
We orient our hunters and give them compartments to hunt in and give them all the information they need. You know, if they've never done it before, you know, that's not to worry. We pretty well give you all the hows and do's about it and what not to do. Hunting success is actually pretty good. The Angelina Dam Bees running around 58. Guadalupe Delta, Matt Island in the high 80s. The Murphree area is 65. So it's not bad.
Sound like pretty good ratios to me. Well, Monique, I really appreciate you jumping on the show this morning.
You bet.
Thanks for helping explain all of our alligator hunting opportunities in the Lone Star State. I really appreciate it. It's been a real pleasure.
Same here.
Take care. Very informative and helpful stuff there from Monique, as I can sit there and read the Texas Parks and Wildlife Hunting Manual front to back three times, and it will never sink in as much as it does when I hear it firsthand. So I always prefer to get it straight from the horse's mouth. So thanks to Monique for stopping by today. Also, of course, thanks to the great Nolan Ryan and also professional bass angler Kelly Jordan for their contributions this morning. Coming up next week, we'll visit with renowned predator hunter Tony Teeb, and in addition to being a phenomenal predator caller, he's got a dog named Gunner who will go out, pick a fight with a group of coyotes, and lure them back within rifle range. And I find that absolutely fascinating, so Tony will stop by, among other things. As always, a very special thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Well, I don't know if she exists, but I'm making up a list that I'm checking them all against. Yes, she gotta be 5'11". She smells like heaven. She was born in 86. Her